Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This morning we're looking at giving thanks always. Giving thanks always. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 18 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, 18 through 20. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting in verse 18 that Paul deals with being filled with the Spirit ahead of dealing with what he deals with in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, but also ahead of verse 20. He mentions again being filled with the Spirit, verse 18, ahead of verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only by being filled with the Spirit that we're going to be able to come through on verses 19 and 20. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this morning. I ask you, Lord, to use me as your word is opened. I just ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. Again, on this Sunday, ahead of Thanksgiving week, we're going to be probably already begun to make preparations, and especially tomorrow and throughout Thursday, and just making plans and preparations and meals and traveling and time together as families, and our church should be gathering together as a family on Tuesday night. But we ask you, Lord, to help us not to lose sight of what it's all about. Ask you to help us to be mindful, to be thankful. Regardless of what we've been through in life, regardless of what our life may be today, help us, Lord, to stay mindful throughout this week that we have much to be thankful for. And I'll just thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of people say thank you simply because they've been trained to do so. I think it's a good thing. I teach my boys to say thank you. I teach them to say you're welcome, things like that. Sometimes people say thank you because they know it's good and proper manners, or they know if they don't say thank you that they will appear to be unappreciative to others. But God cares about the heart. You see, man cares about words. And yes, God does too, but not just words. God takes it a step further as God cares about the heart. So God cares about thanksgiving being in your heart before anything dealing with thanksgiving leaves your mouth. Just because someone says thank you doesn't mean thank you all the time. There'll be times when someone will say thank you, but in their heart, whatever the deed, whatever the gesture, whatever the gift, just wasn't enough. And I'm sure if we're honest here today, we've experienced that. But then if we're honest here this morning, we would also admit that there's been times that we have said thank you to somebody and we did not mean thank you. Maybe they gave you something and you didn't like what they gave you. Or maybe they made you something and you didn't like what they made you. I was thinking about the Andy Griffith with Aunt B's pickles. Nobody wanted to be thankful for them pickles. You know, sometimes somebody might give you something and you're like, thank you, but you don't mean it. You don't mean thank you. So sometimes that happens, but I encourage you this Thanksgiving to truly be thankful, to truly be grateful for your life as it is. I invite you, don't say thank you to God this year while not being satisfied with the life that He's given you, or the health that He's given you, or the finances that He's given you. I encourage you to have a heart of thanksgiving. And when you have a heart of thanksgiving, in every situation, you will find a way to be thankful. Now, I dare say, going back to what we were just talking about, even if perhaps you're given something that you may not like, there can still be an element of thanksgiving because somebody was thinking about you. Somebody cared about you enough to do something for you. There's always something that we can be thankful for. Are we truly thankful? Now, if we're not content, then the answer to that would be no. Contentment leads to thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is defined as the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. A public celebration of divine goodness. Also a day set apart for religious services, especially to acknowledge the goodness of God. So the challenge this morning is to be thankful at all times. Now we will struggle with this. Now we struggle with this because again, it comes back to spirituality, something that we're not always too great at. And that's just being filled with the Spirit. But we see that in verse 18, to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So again, being filled with the Spirit will enable you to be thankful in all things. It's easy to be thankful when we like what's happening. It's easy to be thankful when health is good, when life is good, when finances are good, when family's good, when work's good, when the car is good, or when the house is good. But what kind of effort does that take to be thankful? Even the world has it within them to be thankful during those times. But this morning, we're going to look at 10 things dealing with thanksgiving. We see there's a realization of thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. The word enriched means made rich or wealthy, fertilized, supplied with what with that which is desirable, useful, or ornamental. So this covers your whole being. So whether or not you recognize it or not, every area of your life has been enriched. Every area, even the areas that you feel like could use some attention or they may not be going so well. Maybe whatever the area is not everything that you thought it could be, should be, or would be. But I remind you today that God has greatly enriched you. It could be worse. You know, our daily motto should be, it could be worse. When bad things happen, it could be worse. When good things happen and you struggle to be content thinking that it also could have been better, remember that it also could have been worse. I've had to embrace that. The Lord helped me with that, with moving on from things that had happened in my life and things that I had dealt with. The Lord had impressed that on my heart. It could have been worse. Yeah, my dad committed suicide when I was 14 years old. I could have not known him at all. Yeah, my parents divorced. I could have never known my dad. I could have never met him. That could have been the case. My life could have been worse. I could have not made it out of the Marines. My life could have been worse. Live by that motto. Whatever it is, it could be worse. If you live by that motto, it could always be worse. You will find joy. You will find contentment, which leads to a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude, because anything that is better than worse is a blessing. So being enriched produces something in us. And it's thanksgiving towards God. I'm glad the Lord knows what to do within us and for us in order for us to turn around and bless Him. In order for us to turn around and be thankful. James 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Lights with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So not only the good, we like to call only those good things that appear to be good to us gifts. What about the things that work together for our good? Those things, those trials, those difficulties are also gifts from above. So it's not only what is good now, what we perceive to be good now, but what will be good in time. Coming into Thanksgiving week, you'll have a lot of ingredients that by themselves wouldn't taste good, might not even look good. But when combined in just the right proportions, it makes a dish worth eating on Thursday. God knows how to take things that by themselves don't seem good to put with other things at just the right proportions to make it all good in time. Notice there's the gratitude of thanksgiving. Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to learn to never take for granted that we have what we have and return thanks to the one who gave it. We may not know how. At times, the Lord has to help us to be thankful. If I know anything in my short time on this earth, relatively, it's not to take for granted those gifts that God has given us. One day people are here, the next day they're not. Money's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Time's here today, tomorrow you have no time. Energy's here today, tomorrow you don't feel like it. In everything, give thanks. Don't take any good gift for granted. Three, there's the worship of thanksgiving. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So true thanksgiving is a magnification of a gracious, kind, gentle, loving, and compassionate Lord. And nothing wrong with singing a song of praise to God aloud during your day. Or in your heart or in your mind just to meditate on songs of praise. Now, this is important. We magnify him when we praise him. When we lift him up, it magnifies him. It's like taking a magnifying glass to an object. It makes the object bigger. When we praise God, it makes him bigger. It makes us smaller as it increases him and decreases us. We see also there's a song of thanksgiving, Nehemiah 12 and verse 46, very similar to what we were just looking at. For in the days of David and Asaph of the old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. So when we come into God's house and we're coming into his house and we're singing, we should sing as unto the Lord. We're not here to be seen or heard, but rather to give the Lord the glory that is due his name. We notice in the Old Testament that there were chief of the singers. That's interesting to me. There were singers, and then there were chief of the singers. There were many singers, but some were chief. The chief singers sang songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. Those were the chief singers. That's what they did. And you know what? I come alongside that, and my favorite songs and my favorite singers in all the world aren't those at times who have the best vocal ability. But it's those that when they sing, they brag on God. They sing of a crucified, buried, and risen, and coming again, Lord. That's what excites me. We don't come into God's house to sing funeral music. This isn't a funeral home. It's God's house. We aren't amongst the dead. We're amongst the living. We don't come to God's house to die. We come to God's house to find new life. And the best way to experience that life that we need is to sing songs of life, to sing songs of victory, songs of triumph. And it's not just for those who stand up here and sing for the Lord. It's you, the best you can, the best you know how during congregational singing. Psalm 95 and verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So before his presence, when you come into God's house, you are coming into his presence. And what does Psalm 92:5 say that you're to bring with you? Thanksgiving. A joyful noise. Where is it directed? It is directed to God and him alone. Our thanksgiving and our joyful noise will consist of psalms. Now, I know the church is a hospital where broken people come to be mended. And sometimes we can all be guilty of coming to church broken. But the church is a different kind of hospital. It's not of the physical sort. It's of the spiritual sort. You see, at the hospital, the physical sort, you can't give your cold, your flu, your cancer, your COVID, or whatever it is to the doctor. That's not how it goes. The doctor will prescribe you something. He don't want what you got. He's going to give you something for you to leave and get better. But when it comes to the Lord, he does want you around him. See, and it only makes sense because he's unaffected in his deity by it. You're not going to rub off on him. He ain't going to catch what we got. He ain't going to catch what we got. God's in a whole nother realm. We can come to him and get all up in his space with what we got and give it to him, and he'll take it. You can do that anytime. You don't have to just do that in the Lord's house. And I actually encourage you to give your problems to the Lord before you come so that while you're here, you get to experience the joy of the Lord. And there was a time, I'm telling you, when I came to service after service after service, and the Lord always trying to break through. Always trying to break through me. Always trying to break through my heart. And I couldn't experience joy in church. I couldn't experience real joy because I was always coming in need of being fixed, always in need of being worked on. And I'm not saying that there aren't things in our life that's constantly in need of being addressed. I'm not saying that because we do. We're in constant need of things being addressed. And that's part of sanctification. But there was a time where overall I was coming to God's house and I wasn't ready to experience joy in the Lord. But you can come into God's house and you can get to experience the joy of the Lord. You can get to celebrate in victory with other believers. So how can you sing a song of victory in God's house and mean it if you brought in something that has you defeated? How can you sing a song of praise in God's house if you brought in something that has robbed you of your praise? How can you sing a song of thanksgiving if maybe you brought in discontentment about your life and all that it entails? Now, I'm not saying at times that we won't struggle and we just come the way we are, which is a good thing. I always encourage people, just get to church. Just get to church. You might have had to crawl through the mud or you might, whatever it is, just get to church. Just get there. If the devil knows that he can keep us from church by this, that, and the other, there's always going to be this, that, and the other, and the devil's always going to have the victory, and we're always going to be somewhere else other than here. I'm not saying we don't struggle. We all do. But again, come the way you are. Shouldn't be week in and week out or you have a problem. And by the way, people like this, even when they are here, they're miserable even the more because everyone around them is experiencing what they're not. Others have joy. Others have contentment and praises and thanksgiving. Some are a bump on a log. Come a bump on a log and leave a mountain on a log. I've asked myself before, how can people come to God's house in bad shape and leave in worse shape? There was a time in my life that I was miserable. And I was miserable because everything in my life wasn't right. I allowed it to penetrate my heart, and it changed me from happy to angry, from joyous to sad, from pleasant to bitter. And I know some of this is tough, but I'm trying to help folks experience Thanksgiving. Not to just say that we completed the rituals this week, or that we gathered, we had our turkey and dressing and watched football, but actually have Thanksgiving. We see there's a voice of thanksgiving, Psalm 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all or tell of all thy wondrous works. It's a good thing to give praise publicly. The Bible says that everything that hath breath should praise the Lord in Psalm 50. The animals do just by being who they were designed and created to be. This upcoming Tuesday, we'll have a time of pie and praise. I invite you to come. We'll sing some praises. There'll be a time of testimony. We're going to magnify the Lord on that night. Psalm 107:22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. We're looking at the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 50 and verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. It's interesting. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. That's an interesting phrase. Sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. That means sometimes being thankful is a sacrifice. Sometimes you got to die to yourself. You got to die to how you feel. You got to die to what you have going on and decide that regardless of any of it, you're going to offer up thanksgiving to God. I love to give back to the Lord not only my tithe, but also a gift from a grateful heart. All that I have comes from Him. And as far as I'm concerned, it belongs to Him. That's the attitude that we must have. My wife was His before mine. My kids are His before mine. My finances, my time, the ministry here, the church here, God is always previous. It was all His before He entrusted them to me to be a steward of. Notice there's an entrance of thanksgiving. Psalm 104, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We went into some of this earlier, enter into His gates. This insinuates the presence of God. Where is God? Spiritually, He's seated at His throne, spiritually through the Holy Spirit in His house, spiritually indwelling you and I, those who are saved, and we're to enter into His presence with what? We're to enter with thanksgiving. There's also a prayer of thanksgiving. In Psalm 116 and verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So again, is thanksgiving a sacrifice? The Bible says it is. But let me ask you, is it always easy to be thankful? No, and sometimes it's downright hard. And at times, because of that, thanksgiving is a sacrifice. A word stands out to me in the definition of the word sacrifice, and it's another word, surrender. So we do see how surrender and sacrifice goes together. Anyone who ever sacrificed also surrendered. You must surrender to God to be thankful. See, when you know that nothing happens in your life that God didn't directly bring into your life or directly allow into your life, then you must surrender to Him to then offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We looked at this some in Sunday school this morning. There's going to be things at times that happens in our life, but just to be reminded that God is in control, God is sovereign, just to be reminded of those things should be an encouragement to us as we live this life. And it should help us to be able to be thankful. There's also a witness of thanksgiving, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. For all things, for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You know, it is a great testimony when the unsaved see us thank God for all that He has done for us and all that He has given to us. It's a great testimony. When we see the word unthankful, it's a word used to describe this generation in 2 Timothy 3. Just unthankful. You do see that a lot today in society. It shouldn't be said amongst the church of the living God that we are unthankful, that we're ungrateful. But we do see that out in society. We do see more entitlement. People think that just to simply exist means that everybody owes you something. We do see that, and it's getting worse and worse. Where it's about what can I get from whoever? It don't even matter. What can I get? That's the whole mentality. So we're seeing we're even according to 2 Timothy 3, we're seeing that play out where there is an unthankful generation. We're in it, and it's getting worse. We as believers should be examples of gratefulness. We see there's a continuation of thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I mentioned this, I believe it was on Wednesday night. We had the series on the I Wills of David, and it dealt with praise, and it dealt with just testifying of the Lord's goodness and things, and we looked at that and how David made commitments. And we looked last Wednesday about how David made a vow. It wasn't only a vow to himself, it was a vow to God. That I am, I will. I will praise you. And again, this is easier said than done. It truly is. I can tell you there are times in my life where I have less praise. There are times in my life where I do focus more on maybe what I got going on my plate than God's goodness throughout my life. It does happen. But we see a continuation of Thanksgiving that we are to have. And I mentioned the idea of how even though we're coming up on Thanksgiving and even though it's a day that's set aside for us to be thankful, we should be thankful all the time. We should be thankful every day. Every day of the year, we should be thankful. And we should have that heart of gratitude. And when we have it, we're going to express it. We're going to say, we're going to praise the Lord for the things He's done. We're going to go before Him in prayer. We're going to thank Him first and foremost for the breath of life. He woke us up that morning. He set us about our day, gave us safety all along the way. We're sitting down to eat what He has provided. Don't think for one day that it was you going to work that provided that. If you didn't have the health, you wouldn't have been going to work. You wouldn't have had the money for what you ate. Sometimes that's part of the world's problem with the unthankfulness, according to 2 Timothy 3, about just a lack of gratitude. Sometimes we get to thinking that we've done something. That's the culture. We've done something. We did this. You see the term self-made all the time. Self-made, self-made. They don't even realize. God literally woke them up every morning. God literally woke them up every morning. They got the audacity to say, I'm self-made. No. No. And we cannot let the unthankfulness of the world rub off on us. We see continuing in prayer and then watching in the same with thanksgiving. I like that concept in Colossians 4:2. We've not gone into that. Maybe we will tonight. There's a good study on that, to continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. That means as you pray, continue to pray. And as you're waiting on that answer to prayer, continue in thanksgiving. Watch. Just watch and wait with thanksgiving. Just be thankful in the meantime. I do believe that says something about us when we say, Lord, I've given this to you and I'm asking you to work it out. But I'm going to praise you in the meantime. Because sometimes we praise God for what He has done and we withhold praise for the things He hadn't done yet. Or the things that He might still be working on, what He hasn't revealed. But we see the challenge here to pray, give it to God, and then continue with thanksgiving. Praise Him before you even got it. And this ain't some name it and claim it. You've probably heard me say, I praise you in advance. I think it's good to ask the Lord to do something, and then in faith, just go ahead and say He's going to do it. Now, He might not. He might answer it another way. But at least you put it out there and you believe it. I know you can and I believe you will. If you don't, I won't praise you either way. We can never forget to continually count our blessings. I love that hymn, Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. We can be real specific with our prayer request. Real specific with our prayer request, but not be so specific with our praises. I've known people about had a notebook. Not literally a notebook. I'm dramatizing that a little bit. 4 or 5 pages of prayer requests that they run down. Can't give you 5 praises. Sometimes we're real specific with our prayer requests. But praises, it seems like it's hard for us to recollect. Seems like it's hard for us to muster up some praise. and what the Lord has done for us. Sometimes it comes back to a lack of being reminded. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of how good God is and how good He's been. Even throughout the ups and downs, God has been good. I've said it before. I don't know if I've said it here. The goodness of God's not based on our circumstances. It's not. It's not based on our circumstances. It's not based on what's on your plate or not. It's not based on our circumstances. His goodness is not based on our trials. His goodness is based on who He is, and He never ceases to be good, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what the church is going through, regardless of what next week looks like. And none of us knows what next week holds. God don't cease to be good. He will be good. He can't be anything but good, and we just have to be reminded of His goodness. And when we focus on His goodness, then we're able to truly be thankful and truly praise Him. And I trust you do that this week. Take some time to be focused on the Lord, and take some time to be focused on His goodness this week. Lord, as we come before You,